God is redeeming that, and people are changing the way they do business, the way they live, the way they spend money, the way they invest, and so forth. Sorrow and tragedy happens in our lives, that's for sure. I guess I'm blessed. Short of losing some family members, I can't recall a huge tragedy like someone, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of a tragedy. I mean, many of you have had people killed in automobile accidents and drunk drivers, and you've had a tremendous adversity in your lives. And I guess I've been spared that. And I can't relate to some of that, really. But as a pastor, I see it and deal with it every day with people who are going through such things. I've had people who have had brushes with death, and now their lives have been changed as a result of that event or situation. And these people that I have talked to have become more caring and more loving because they've been through hell, if you will. Excuse me, kids. I'll say H-E double hockey sticks instead. People who have been unemployed for a year or two have tried to change due to this experience, and many of them have done quite well, but they give thanks to God for that experience. They don't thank God for the pain or the loss or the tragedy, but for being with them in the midst of their struggles, being with them, sustaining them, and using that pain to change them from within, to drive them deeper in their faith, and to have more meaningful lives. And many of these people, and some of you that work with counselors and work as counselors and social workers, know that many of the social workers are people who have been through sexual abuse and other abuse, and now they're giving back to help other people. When I went to Del Tech, I was in human services, and many of the people that went on to work as social workers had been people who had been hurt deeply and seriously and severely. But through the redemptive work of God, whether they gave credit to God or not, are now helping other people in those helping fields. God wins because God takes our pain, our suffering, and transforms it into something beautiful. He takes ashes and makes something beautiful. There's a beauty for ashes. There's a song from the 80s that goes by that. How do we know this? Our greatest example is what happened to Jesus. Look at what Jesus endured. Look what Jesus had to go through by evil men. God used these evil acts of crucifying an innocent man. And what was the result? The redemption of the world. The salvation of the world. God's only begotten Son crucified. It's a horrible, horrible death. But it was the only way that we could be saved. God wins because of the resurrection. The resurrection, folks, is the key to all of this. Suffering and hardship and evil and death will not have the last word. The resurrection proves that. The resurrection of Jesus proves us that death is not the final chapter. God always has the last word. In our Apostles' Creed, we say, Jesus is crucified, dead, and buried, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead. That is a basic affirmation of our faith that we as Christians hold. The Bible is full of these affirmations of hope. And I could go on and on with many scriptures. I've got a few I want to share with you this morning. Listen to these. Psalm 35, verse 5. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing, joy comes in the morning. One of my favorite passages. That was the one that God gave me at the death of my father just across the street here in 1994. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That means that, yes, there may be sadness now, but guess what? There's going to be joy later. May not be tomorrow morning, but it's coming. The book of Lamentations is full. If you ever read the book of Lamentations, it's full of people just like ourselves crying out to God, shaking our fist at God, wondering, questioning, why? But the writer in chapter 3 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I believe there's a song, a hymn by that name. Great is thy faithfulness. Isaiah 51, Isaiah preaching to the people of Zion, the people of God who are far away in Babylon. He's trying to encourage them that that is not the final word, that they will return home to Zion, to Jerusalem. And he writes, the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. My wife's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I couldn't help but think of Dr. Martin Luther King and how God wins by redeeming something horrible and turning it into something good. You know that Dr. King was the primarily responsible for the civil rights movement of the 60s. And I know he was a controversial figure, but he was certainly, in my opinion, a prophet. And he brought a message one night on the night before he was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. He was preaching in a church, and he was talking about a vision that he had. Roll that video.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight